it's Katie Rose. You're listening to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. Time to get embarrassed with us.
It's spring, but yet it's not.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Happy spring, I suppose, then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know about this groundhog. I got to have words with this guy. What is it, spring and then winter and spring? What's next?
Last week, I remember there was that huge snowstorm, as everybody else remembers, and there was one point where Nate was like sleeting and it was sunny and there was like just ice on the ground. I'm thinking to myself, nope. This is not right. This is not normal.
I think it was a plot. The city shutting down. It was a plot.
Don't give me that conspiracy theory. There was
I'm telling you, man. I've lived in the city my whole life, and that was an absolutely nothing storm. Somewhere, there's some guy like, you know what? If we shut down New York, I'm going to be able to take over, baby.
Yeah, that snow is heavy. If you did not have to shovel snow from your stoop, do not come at me, bro.
It's like 6 inches, dude.
And it was heavy as fuck.
Well, that's because snow is, you know,
not it was not that fluffy crap. It was like the real deal.
I get that.
Okay, we're done talking about the weather. Welcome to Lost and Rewound.
Yeah,
my name is Alon.
My name is Jimmy,
and we are luckily safe from any at all cold weather deep inside the warm basement.
In the bowels of Brooklyn.
In the bowels of Brooklyn, the basement in a record store called Secondhand Records NYC.
The belly of the beast. We're down here recording.
And we're here every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. We have quite a lot of things going on coming up in the next few weeks. This episode is going to be fun. If you want to contribute to making all of our episodes even more fun and financially secured, I should say, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge to contribute to the station $1 or even $10 or anything in between or above that.
Or Bitcoin.
Talk to Burning Bridges Margot about that. She knows all about the Bitcoin.
So give us those digital dollars. You know, it's hard to feed your actual crispy dollar bills into your drive of your computer. So you got to give us digital dollars. And again, you can do that at radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge
or
you can give directly to us.
Exactly, at radiofreebrooklyn.com/LAR. That's our main page that you can sponsor our show. And that's quite cool because then you can be a generous sponsor to our program to keep us running without any concerns, without any stress. We know it's a stressful time for you, but of course, as specified, any little bit counts.
You'd be part of the creative process. You can be involved.
Be involved.
Without having to have creativity yourself.
And if you don't want to submit any money to us, but you want to submit something to the show, you know the drill. It's lostandrewound@gmail.com for any and all inquiries, pitches, complaints, whatever, what have you.
If you have creativity and you don't have money, you can do that.
There's so many options.
There's
here.
There's so many ways to connect. Or you can just tell your friends to listen to the show. Anyway, anything is beneficial to us.
Yes. Let's get started. David Piccolomini is a stand-up comedian based in Brooklyn and hails from Wilmington, Delaware. In addition to the stage, David is no stranger to the microphone behind closed doors either. For nearly a year, he's been the host of his own weekly podcast called Tinder Tales, which is not, I discovered, a DIY show about starting a fire with the help from your cat. He joins us here in the studio to discuss what it really means and what these old clips he brought with him are about too. Welcome to David Piccolomini.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Welcome, welcome.
Man, Tinder and Tails, it just sounds like an indie video game about a little cat that has to start fires.
Yes.
So I'm going to venture a guess and say that these are stories of you on Tinder dates and stuff like that?
It's not just me, but I have
collective
guests.
Stories.
Yeah, it's collective stories. There's still people, like, when I talk to them, like, oh, I've never online dated. I'm like, why are you proud of, like...
It doesn't have the same sort of taboo it used to have.
It doesn't, but it's still there a lot. Yeah. Especially, like, if you talk about it. Like, people, everybody's on Tinder, but nobody wants to believe that everybody's on Tinder because there's still all the sex-based shame.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm trying to kind of destigmatize it as well as give help because a lot of people are real bad at it.
Yeah.
You consider yourself like a Tinder Dr. Drew?
yeah, a little bit. I mean, I guess so. I don't know. I did it a lot and then I got a girlfriend.
From Tinder?
Happen.
Okay. So yeah. Similar, another
yeah,
app.
Wait, what? What is it called?
Happen.
I've heard of this one. I haven't used that yet.
The fuck is up with this shit? There's so many new ones.
I have a whole joke about it.
So Tinder, Tinder is about hookups.
No, that's not true anymore.
It's not anymore.
Okay, so here's the thing. All online dating is about hookups. All online dating is about dating.
It's just about
all
meeting people.
All online dating. FetLife is good if you have fetishes, like, because then you can just be open about those.
Yes, I've heard of that for sure. And OkCupid is the standard bearer.
Well, have
much.
You heard but about have you heard of
free dating?
Have you heard of Mijos?
What?
Have you heard of Mijos?
Mijos
is like the
Mijos.
Dating app for Hispanic people.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. I thought you said Meat House, and I thought that was just like a site from the early times.
Sounds good.
Or Meat Spin's the other one.
Meat Spin, I remember.
There was another one that had a house in it.
Yeah. I can't keep these straight anymore. OkCupid was the only one that I ever used with any minor success.
Oh no, it's Mijente. Mijos is the little toys of like thugged out gangster toys.
That's easy. Why? You
I remember those.
Those.
Yeah.
but you were saying
it's weird because people are like, Tinder's the hookup app. Tinder's the hookup app. Women are more protected. I've had more girls just show up to my house from OkCupid because we'll talk on there. They get a better sense of who I am as a person from my profile.
Sure.
And then they'll just come to my house. It's really, it's a little strange.
By the time Tinder came around, I was already engaged and I never used the app. So when it first started, my impression was it was just the most unabashed way for people to hook up with each other at a split second. And now evidently
just not true.
Well, no. I mean, maybe
that's Grindr.
But that's the thing. I always thought that Tinder was basically just everyone's all in.
A catch-all Grindr.
Not a heterosexual Grindr,
no,
obviously.
A catch-all, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is not the case, and I've understood that that's not the case.
So the way I would describe it, all dating apps are just a social app with a sexual component.
Correct.
That's the only way you can describe all
makes
of them.
Makes sense, yeah.
Because you can meet someone on Tinder and within an hour you're fucking. Or, like, I've had people that have been dating for years. I had someone, they're engaged now from Tinder. People know plenty of people that have gotten married from meeting people on that
site.
Oh,
sure.
It's no different than meeting someone in a bar and then marrying them, which is crazy.
True enough.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, you know? See, you just met on, like, real-life Tinder.
That's the deal. Is that, like, meeting in a bar now is actually considered to be, like, a normal thing compared to online dating. And it's not that online dating has that taboo, but now it's like, oh, we met in real life.
Yeah, we met in real life. But what we were attracted to each other's smells.
Exactly.
What inspired you to start this podcast, and how fearless are you?
I like talking about that kind of stuff, and I feel like it's such a weird thing. It's probably because I came from a super conservative background.
Sure enough.
Like hardcore Christian Baptist.
Delaware.
Yeah, well, Pennsylvania, but they're right next to each other. I drove to Pennsylvania every day for school.
Really?
Because driving out of Delaware takes you like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was a half an hour. Philadelphia is a half an hour away.
Dude, it's so small. I tell people I've been to Delaware, they go, really? Like, yeah, I drove through it. It took me like
95.
A minute.
It's 20 minutes. Yeah. It's the time you feel like you accomplished something on 95.
Yeah, you feel really good about it. When I'm in Delaware, I'm almost like, yeah!
New York to New Jersey, you're like taking all this time, and Pennsylvania, it's like takes all this time and on 95, and then you get to Delaware, it's like, and I'm here, and I'm gone, did it!
We did it.
You traveled to a different state for school.
Yes.
You didn't actually go to school in your own state that you lived in.
High school, I did. I was in a homeschool co-op.
Huh.
So all the teachers were parents of the students, and we'd go to school 3 days a week, and then we were home 2 days a week, where we got taught stuff by our mom and did homework and stuff like that.
How many students were in this program?
It was like, it was from 5 years old to eighth grade. There were like 50, I want to say, 60. And my class was the biggest class of 13.
The more I live my life and like learn about people's schooling, the more I don't feel so awkward about having a graduating class of 23.
No, it's like it's great. Like it's where are you from?
Upstate New York, Hudson Valley. I went to a private school for high school in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah. Oh, my graduating class in high school was like 200, 300 people because I went to the public high school.
Sure.
And that is a transition.
Sure. Oh, I'm sure. Like, so wait, you started going to that school when you were how old?
13, 14.
So it was
ninth grade.
Yeah, it wasn't. Wait, you started high school when you were 13? No.
I might have been 13.
Okay, I was going to say.
I'm September 17th. It's my birthday. So I have that cutoff where
I see. They let you be the youngest in the.
I was 3 years old at the beginning of kindergarten for 4-year-olds.
Huh. All right.
Because you start beginning of September, and then by the time September ends, I'm right at that line for the cutoff date.
Jimmy, I forget. Were you the oldest in your grade, or were you the youngest in your grade? I think we've covered this before on another episode.
I was. My birthday's in the summer, so yeah. I never had a birthday in the school year.
But you were like always.
I was always the exact age that I should be.
Okay.
Never older.
Don't age shame me right now.
Okay.
It was one of those things that when people go, oh, were you like 14 in freshman year? I go, yep, because my whole freshman year I was 14 or whatever, and then I turned 15 in the summer.
Yeah,
supposed to be like that.
I understand.
But I wanted to get back quick just because.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This made me think of it. I just personally recently downloaded Tinder, and I never had tried dating apps and stuff like that. And as a comic, reading people's, their flavor text. I feel like it's like a magic card of a girl. You know, they got the flavor text on the bottom. But some of them have been so ridiculous that I just had to, like, I've been screenshotting them and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to see it. Oh,
and,
man.
So the other one I didn't get to screenshot, but I'll show you one. And I'll read it for you guys over there that can't see this. One was a girl said, here it is. She said, I like long walks on the beach after anal.
Yeah, honestly,
you
that's...
need a long walk out. Of the beach, don't you?
I don't trust all that sand. But
true enough, dude.
Here's the worst part: is I've seen that at least 7 times. That is cliche.
Wow, so that's like she's not even original with that. But this one is pretty good, though. Here,
okay, awful. All right. This one see. Says. All right, so this is says, this is a woman who is she's showing off a lot of cleavage. Her name is Jane with the Y, and she is a busty woman. And her thing is, my heart is as big as my tits. which you know what though? Also, you have a 49-mile radius right now.
What? I don't know.
Is it a real heart?
I don't have a car, so it definitely not gonna be.
That was funny. That was funnier than we all gave it credit for.
I'm the only one in this room who's not a comedian. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
But right no, now. It was really good.
I started this on the wrong foot by assuming that I could make a joke out of your podcast name. So
no, I liked it. I do have a slight bone to pick with you. Speaking of Out and Abandoned, because you told me to listen to 2 episodes. I gave music that I felt, or I gave vocals of me that would be embarrassing, and then I listened to Hannah Calgar's episode, and then she just killed 2 Little Shop of Horrors songs, and I was like, what? There's nothing embarrassing about this. This is awesome.
Exactly. Every so often, people will bring through stuff that's just really cool, and
can
you find something a little bit more like depraved? Or something? Yeah, give me a break.
None of this is depraved, but it does. I definitely thought I was really good at accents, and it turns out not the case.
Yes.
We do have a lot to cover because although you only submitted just a very small handful of these clips, they are quite abundant in time, and I don't want to.
Yeah, I'll let you know where you can skip ahead and stuff.
So you heard these before you came to air?
I heard a little bit and then turned them off because I was like, ah, 17-year-old Dave.
So you are not very proud of this work?
It's not even like.
I don't know why I said proud. It's not about pride. It's you are not really.
I cringe at it. I liked doing musicals and stuff. The first one I did was when I was 7, playing a 5-year-old. I was super short.
I like how you played someone younger than you when you were 7 because that requires justifying.
No, but
just so you know, he's 7 years old, but he's going to play somebody who's 3.
It factors into everything.
Were you short as a child?
The whole time. Up until 21. I was like 5'5 at like 20, and then I kind of grew those extra 2 inches at 21 into 5'7.
That's fair.
So would you do like Wolverine a lot as a kid?
No, because I was also, I have these shoulders still. I'm just, I was very small. I got it.
What about Puck, right? You know Puck?
Yeah. Oh, Puck. Puck. I would love to be Puck. I was so mad.
I auditioned for Puck, and I didn't get it.
No, I'm not talking about Midsummer Night's Dream. I'm talking about Puck from the Alpha Flight. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no. Sorry. I don't know if you heard me say musical theater nerd eight times.
Here, I'll put up a picture of him. And
I was so mad when they had to cast the girl because they didn't have enough guys to be all the Midsommar parts.
Yes.
So I was like, no, this is clearly not like an angry guy. This is make me the weird imp dude.
No, trust me, I was in Midsommar Night's Dream. I know all about Puck, but this dude is the much better Puck. He's basically a little person in a little outfit that he rolls up into a ball and he flies at people.
That looks very familiar.
Yeah. Like a hockey puck.
Yes. Okay. So Alpha Flight was the Canadian superhero team that Wolverine would fight with someone.
Yeah.
And one of them was a Sasquatch, and there was a girl that would turn into a snow owl, and there was these twins.
Wasn't there one of the first homosexual comic book characters in that group,
yes,
too?
Yes.
North Star,
you're right.
That is North Star's group.
Yes, you're totally right. The Canadians, they started off right,
man. They know what they're doing,
I'm telling you, dude. Aubrey, dude.
It's Aubrey Graham.
An upset.
We can put that to bed. So you have all these musicals, and you're one of the only males, it sounds like.
Well,
doing it?
That's kind of.
Small little community.
Well, in my community, I'm the only one who ever wants to do the plays at all and would get emotionally invested in them. Everybody else was just like, I guess we have to do the school play that they're making the whole class do.
And you were like, no!
I cried because I didn't get the funny guy. They made me into the dog. And the guy was like, I don't want it. You can be it. I was like, you don't get it.
Stop right there. You're going to have to give some context. You played the dog.
Okay,
what is the show?
So it's called Lewis and Clark, The Great Adventure or something like that. Not to be confused with The Great Frontier, the Lewis and Clark musical by Patrick Riley and Kevin Froelich, my friends, who they've made a very funny musical. They're performing it this summer. You should go see it.
So we got
to
get them on the show, actually. Those are good guys.
Oh, Pat Riley would be great for this.
Yeah, for sure.
And so would Kevin probably, because he probably has a lot of angsty indie music he made as a kid.
I've known both those guys for years.
Okay, they're both great people for this. So I did this. It's a Lewis and Clark musical. It's an educational musical designed for middle schools and elementary schools.
And who put it on?
My church / school.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the co-op that you were part of, I see.
They would do those. No, this wasn't community theater. This was co-op. Yeah, not to brag, but I went to a co-op for school.
No, that's fine, but it was religious. It was a religious co-op.
Religious. Yeah, it's a cult. We could all,
all
say
right.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like a coop? You were cooped up in the co-op?
Cooped up in the co-op cult.
Right.
Yeah, let's get this alliteration out. It's a garbage play, obviously, but it has facts, but they have that thing where everybody has to get a line at certain points where they're like, oh, everybody can say a one-word line.
Yeah, sure.
It's like great, stupendous. Well, it was great.
It's a co-op. Everybody has to share.
They made me the dog because there was a dog that went with them named Scanlan.
They named their dog Scanlan?
What?
It was the 1800s. I don't know why you're
That's
getting
what
picky
you
on the
Scanlan.
Name.
That's what you named your dog. You named your dog
oh,
after
believe it or not, Meriwether
dragons.
Lewis. The guy named Meriwether named his dog Scanlan.
For real. I'll have to look that up. That's impressive.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. The group was Sacagawea.
It's just like women are not named Ethel anymore. You'll never name your dog Scanlan.
It's a good
anymore.
Name of a beat cop or
a
dog.
Yeah.
Ah, Detective Scanlan.
Scanlan. He's got 2 weeks till retirement. I hope nothing bad happens.
I'm telling you. It's perfect, man.
And there was a character who was the French husband of Sacagawea.
Okay.
And he got all the funny lines, so I really wanted to be him. And, I auditioned, really went hard for this.
Did you ham it up as the dog as
oh,
much
of course.
As possible?
Well, yeah. I'm like a sunflower, but for attention.
In the play, it was written for the kid, the dog talked.
Yeah.
And that was already just in the play. They didn't create dog lines
well,
for
no,
you?
No, the dog talked in real life. So
so the dog
you
was...
You know Lewis and Clark's story.
So it was a Scruff McGruff situation.
Yeah.
And he was, leading them on a journey against crime
they
or to find the West.
The church... that I was part of did not make this play.
But they got the rights, and they figured...
Got the rights. Jesus gave them the right.
Anyway, it's the divine in a providence we would do this play.
There was definitely nothing legal about what we did. It's a church. What? I don't think we charged money for it.
It was for the community, and how many kids were in the play?
It was 20. We were in 7th grade, and then we got all the kids who were younger. My brother played Napoleon... my little sister, who's 4 years younger than me, was part of the Indians that came out, the Native American group.
What is your costume looking like for this
part?
Oh,
full dog. I will. Don't worry. That'll be the picture. I'll show you a picture of me as the dog.
But not on all fours and stuff.
Though. No. I was. I just stood. It's one of those shows where everybody stands in a line and they walk up to talk and they walk up.
Yeah, I remember that.
Our town,
that.
Except the Lewis and Clark Baptist version.
So
yeah.
So upright dog. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
What is it? Spaceballs.
Yeah. No. Exactly. exactly like Spaceballs. Okay. Yeah, except for less funny. I'm no John Candy.
Fair enough.
Do you have anything else to set up? We should probably listen to this.
So, yeah, you're right. I should set this up. One last thing I should set up. The concept of the show is two kids are hanging out being like, oh, Lewis and Clark is boring. And then in comes Lewis, Clark, and all of their merry band.
And a talking dog.
And a talking dog.
So,
yeah.
First of all, when I was just sitting here and like historical characters came in, I was not interested. But when that dog started talking,
yeah, pretty
that's
much.
When things exactly. got really rolling.
Let's listen to this amazing stuff.
Studies say Monroe and Livingston bought a lot more than they originally intended. Yeah, like 860,000 square miles. Sort of the blue light special of land deals. The truth is, we didn't. Many Americans have some strange ideas about ownership in that time in our history. You can say that again.
Well, let's get back to the trip itself. So you headed out to Kinglas in a couple of canoes and a couple of keelboats. Wasn't the trip ever successful, do you think?
Are you kidding? It was the adventure of a lifetime.
It was spectacular.
It was so enlightening.
What trip?
It was freeing.
It was magnificent.
It was glorious.
It was stupendous.
Wait, stop! Hold this! I can't believe I'm hearing this, and I'm known to have some pretty good ears. Good grief, fellas, give me some music. No, baby, let me give it to you straight. I'm the one who made the entire trip on four little cars and not a hydrant in sight. They say it was this great adventure, full of romance, excitement, and thrills. But let me tell you right now that no matter what they say, no matter how they say it, the whole doggone trip was undeniably, absolutely, positively rough!
That was rough.
That
was really rough. I don't know if it was as rough as Lewis and Clark's journey west.
Yeah. Oh, no. That, believe it or not, that was my peak. nothing's going to be better than that.
How do you beat being a dog and telling it like it is and having a beat drop? And
it is so weird. Like, it's weird that she did cast me as the cynic at an early age.
The voice of reason is totally this dog. So guys, watch it.
Yo, so the dog was basically saying, it's rough being out here on
that's
the
what
road.
The dog said the entire time.
The dog is like, it's
throughout
rough.
The entire
and the
play,
dog goes, it's rough. And they rough. Go, and it's like, I know something, I know a thing or two about things being rough because I'm barking all the time.
Yes, that's literally all it's
if we were going with factual information here, song notwithstanding, I would imagine that Meriwether Lewis is probably smoking so much of who knows what the Native Americans were giving him on this trip that he probably thought his dog was talking the entire time.
The dog was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's like, yeah, the journey is rough, boy.
And then you have what naturally has to be like a huge song and dance number that absolutely has no way, shape, or form. Yeah. Connection with
no purpose.
The,
no, nothing. I think it was a great adventure.
So I had two things that came to mind with this. First, I was in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and the song Supper Time that Snoopy yeah. sings is such a like a fanfare song. Just can't hold a candle to thy supper time. Yeah, yeah, it's like it's very like
big
Broadway.
Fosse Broadway, yeah.
Precisely. I'm not sure how this merited a Fosse number either, but kudos to whoever had the gumption to write something of this.
This is a real thing. I met, there's another comic who I was talking to, and he was like, yeah, I did that musical too.
Who oh, did Lord. He play?
I don't remember.
He was the dog too?
Yeah, he was the dog.
He wasn't lucky enough to be the dog, dude. And so who was the character that was the funny one?
The French one. He has just funnier.
You did it rough, but it's not so bad.
I don't remember. Like, yeah, it was just, I mean, it's obviously all of it's bad, although this play wasn't so bad. The one that I really hated, I couldn't find any audio of.
Sure.
Was when we did The Blue and the Gray, a Civil War tale.
Oh, boy.
Oh goodness. Was that a musical too?
Yeah, but there were no characters in it. It was all just one side were the blue talking, one side was the gray talking, and then you'd sing songs together.
That's the laziest musical I've ever heard.
It's awful.
Come on, you want to have a little Lee or some Lincoln in there. Somewhere.
Well, so, oh, that is, okay.
I'm Christmas, red little, one, I'm blue one.
Little Christmas Addicts, come on now.
Someone from the church was a semi-professional Abraham Lincoln impersonator, and he read the Gettysburg Address at the end. And I read a letter to music, and I got hiccups during it.
So, when you're a semi-pro Lincoln impersonator,
you're actually a missionary.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's like so. I guess you just go around and you read the address a lot.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you're tall and thin.
I talk to kids about the history of Lincoln. that is what I do. I don't know. Yeah.
Such a strange thing to
be. You're mostly
you
know that, a missionary to Spain.
You know that apparently his voice was really, really high-pitched?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard, yeah.
It was nasally and difficult to hear, but when he began to speak, it arrested you, and you felt your loins quiver, and you were like, oh, Lincoln.
Also, he was tall for this time Gangly. Period, so like at that point, he was just a giant.
Well, tall people are like born leaders. Washington was tall, Lincoln, Grant. It's just like you want
to
follow
somebody. If you have to look
big.
Up to someone, it's a natural, inspiring thing.
It is.
It's a weird thing.
And Gandalf the wizard.
And yet, the entire Russian Federation has a tiny little midget for their leader.
Well, yeah, taking shots.
He's, that's me, taking shots as a big man.
Hey, Putin, listen to Tinder though. Tales.
He's fearsome, though.
I
he's in the KGB, dude. He doesn't matter his height.
Yeah.
I did want to make one other quick note about what this reminded me of. I was so far removed from what this play could have been about with the way the song was. It immediately reminded me of a video that went viral several years ago from Titanic, The Legend Lives On. Now, if you don't, know,
don't what, know what that is, okay.
The legend goes on. Sorry, the legend goes on. And if you don't know what this is, that's fine. But there is a cartoon version of Titanic featuring talking animals. And there is...
What?
There is a rap in
no.
this. There's a rap.
Wait, so what...
It's called It's Party Time.
What animal was Leo?
I don't know. I don't... I, dude,
was he
I
a lion?
I never saw this movie.
He
I just
probably
saw...
Probably was it...
Oof.
homework for the listener. Look up It's Party Time, Titanic, and there's just a bunch of dancing mice. So, again, why does it have anything to do with Titanic? Not sure.
Was this just like an off-brand an American Tale?
Yeah, exactly. Five Goes West was the second one, right?
You know what? It could very well be, but it was made in 2000, which was well after the point
that
Five was popular.
Well, that was like 96.
Yeah, 94. Yeah, Five O's mid-90s for sure.
I guess Bible Goes 90s. West was like early 90s.
Yeah, it was like 93, 94.
I remember I had that VHS.
We got the fact checker right here.
It's a great movie. I haven't seen it in a while.
They actually are good.
Yeah,
are
it's good. Like a weird thing of coming to America, realizing the American dream
so
is
So American Tale is 86.
So. Oh, wow.
So, but let's put a Bible Goes West.
I believe it's 91. But don't.
Oh, never mind then.
91. This man is good.
I told you, I have the VHS.
No. I do too, but I guess I didn't watch it till like 94. When
is that the only
it.
Jewish cartoon that we know of?
there's more.
I mean,
no, but that was like mainstream popular.
Where it's very obvious that they're all Jewish, or where there's a very obvious Jewish stereotype character.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, so yeah, there's plenty of stereotypes.
Yeah, there's Watto from episode one.
The
only thing that works on me is money. Jedi mind tricks do not even work.
You can't use that on me, Watto.
Your credits are worthless. Oh, I tell you, I only like one thing, and that's money. I only use electronics store. It's so gross.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we have to dive into these other clips.
Okay.
There's so much to go dig through with here with David Piccolomini.
We won't talk about Watto's flaccid face at all.
Nope.
Lost in a while.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
But just leave your troubles at the door, leave your worries behind. Leave the rest up to me, you're gonna like what you find. I'll be busting the moves and I'll be busting the rhymes. We'll be busting up laughing cause it's party time.
Party time, it's party time.
Everybody's feeling fine cause it's party time.
Party time, it's party time.
Everybody's feeling fine cause it's party time.
Party time, it's party time.
Everybody's feeling fine cause it's party time.
Party time, it's party time.
Everybody's feeling fine cause it's party time.
Party time.
Everybody's feeling fine because it's party time.
Party time. Party time.
Everybody's feeling fine because it's party time.
Party time.
It's party time.
So speaking of cartoon movies with animals or anthropomorphized animals, we're back.
Yeah. David Piccolomini is our guest this week, and we have been having a lot of fun with him in the first half, and I imagine that fun will continue to show up in the second half as we have still plenty of footage. For the record, your footage is that of the musical theater variety of which you extracted audio from video. So though we can't get the visuals, there's certainly plenty of imagination that the listener could have listening to a How old were you when you were that dog character?
So when I was that dog, I was probably 12.
You were 12 years old.
11, maybe?
12,
I don't know.
11-year-old kid from Delaware playing a talking dog in the Lewis and Clark musical.
If you listen closely, you can hear everybody's terrible Pennsylvania accents.
I did hear that.
Just like, who can know? Well, it was like, oh.
I didn't realize there was a Pennsylvania accent.
It's a big state. Pittsburgh's got a different one in the vicinity there. Delco has a very specific one. And Philadelphia has like... it's more of that. It's like a weird Dutch influence.
Yeah.
But who is it? What's the guy? Bruce Willis. Philly accent.
Really?
He's from Philly. You guys didn't know that?
No.
Nope.
Will Smith?
Terrence Howard.
Well, I knew about
him. Yeah. We all know about Will Smith.
I think he's from West Philadelphia.
Born and raised?
Let's not. This isn't 2007. Why are we doing this?
apparently, he turned into Uncle Phil now. He's really, he's putting on weight.
You mean he's aging? Like,
yes!
He's right in front of our eyes?
He's a wax figure, man. I swear. I saw him in person when I was working at an event when I was doing catering something like 10 years ago or so, and he didn't look real. He really did not look real. I was really impressed with how Hollywood he looked.
Cool.
They're just another being. Yeah.
But like, were you hot for him?
I was he was glowing and I was glowing for him.
Damn, down under.
So I got into community theater from doing that Civil War play. I was so upset because it was like, there's no leads, there's no nothing. This is like a bad.
And so they gave you the dog, and then
this is the Civil War one. Yeah, there were no dog. If there was a dog in the Civil War, I probably would have never done theater outside of. But my mom was like, all right, we'll find you other theater. And I found this community theater.
What was the name of it?
Wilmington Drama League and the Delaware Children's Theater.
Cool.
Fun fact, John Gallagher Jr., also from Delaware and did those theaters, and Aubrey Plaza.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Aubrey Plaza have won the same award.
I love Aubrey Plaza. I'm a huge fan of Legion and Parks and Rec, so she could do no wrong in my book.
Yeah.
She
was just as good in Delaware doing little theater. Right?
I hear that she is just as sarcastic in real life. A friend of mine worked with her and said she is that character.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, defensive, droll, yeah.
But talking about Mr. Piccolomini here, I would like to address the fact that you did a show that I didn't realize was even a play at all. The Whorehouse?
Oh, Best Little Whorehouse, yeah.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. There was a theatrical version of it because
version before the movie.
Oh, I see. That shows how much I know. Cool.
It's all right. Yeah, there's a lot of those weird ones where, like, well, they didn't have an I Will Always Love You. That's where that comes from. Dolly Parton and Best Little Whorehouse. This one doesn't have that. This is, like, the original version.
Like, Little Shop of Horrors was originally a movie, like a black and white sci-fi movie. And then it was made into a musical that spearheaded the movie.
Yes.
With Rick Moranis and everybody.
But I don't know if there was a black and white whorehouse movie. Well, there were, but they just weren't.
Sure.
I don't think they had the same plot.
I will admit, I definitely love Dolly Parton just on the very strict basis of the fact that she is freaking Dolly Parton.
She's amazing.
I don't have any at all knowledge of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Could you please describe to me the plot and what the play version was like, if different?
They're a little different just because it was like I think it was like, a 70s movie? 70s movies are very distinct in their style. It's a something else place, but really it's the whorehouse. Chicken style. It used to be like a chicken ranch. That's what it was.
Nice.
And yeah.
Go there to get your chicks.
And like everybody knew about it. They would bribe all politicians and stuff. And this was like about the eventual close of it because their public unrest became too much. And I was a football player because once again, they need guys. every musical. So I was part of a football player chorus of guys who are going to get to go to the whorehouse because they're about to bang.
And how old were you?
Did they just win the championship or
something? I was like 21.
Okay.
Yeah, this wasn't quite 10 years, but...
Okay.
This is probably the most embarrassing one.
So what year was this made?
That was in college, I want to say. What year was it? 7, 8, 9, 2009?
Okay.
I don't know exactly.
But this was all just college. There wasn't anybody younger than
No. This was a community theater production.
And were there kids younger than this?
No, older.
You were one of the young
I was one of the young people. And like, yeah, no, our football team was like me and like two 40-year-old overweight dudes and like a bald guy. And like,
what was it like being one of the youngest people in your production?
I was so comfortable at the theater. I basically started doing their stuff when I was in eighth grade. And like, so I knew half the people already. The only thing that was probably a little nicer because people weren't making fun of me. I am a late bloomer every step of the way, I've learned.
So you felt a little more accepted in a community of actors that were not in your school?
Yeah, they're adults, so they're just like, whatever, it's just, he's like a part of the team. We're all, like, because I think there's a certain point where they're like, sweet, this 21-year-old wants to hang out with us.
No, I mean, the community theater is very much like that. Having done minimal community theater with adults and kids in the same production, it seems like there definitely is that acceptance that comes with being a younger member and being with the older people. They're the ones who have been doing it forever, in comparison, that is.
Yeah.
They remember the good old days. And
yeah.
They want it school, yeah.
They're also a member of the board, so they technically get all the parts that they want, whatever they want.
You can be my protégé.
No, that's... Hey, but also fair, but also...
I give it up. It's a system I don't knock
also,
it at all.
But also, no, because there was always complaints about that kind of stuff.
I don't mean to be flippant.
Oh, no, but you're more likely to cast your friends if they're as good. I know how this person works, because they brought in new people all the time. I don't know why, but that like was like a sticking point where I watched people like be like, oh, it's rigged anyway. I'm like, you're just not getting ahead because you're not working hard enough. If you were better than that person, they'd still cast you.
What made you decide to include this?
This is going to follow a trend of all my parts end up with an accent, and most of them are bad.
What kind of accent did you have in this?
Swedish.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's one Swedish player for some reason. The director was like, there's like a Swede player.
Of course,
there.
He comes from Sweden.
Yeah.
No big deal. That's
a better accent than what I
have. That's the most irreverent thing I've ever heard. Why
no,
would you be a Swedish football player?
He's like, what's that dang Scandahoovian saying?
I'm telling you, man, there's something that's goofy about Swedish people or that people have tried to use as like a running joke for years.
There's something really goofy about theater that they don't care.
I don't know why. It's a running joke, and I never really saw the humor in it, but in a lot of movies, there's like, oh, the one Swedish woman comes and she does this, and you're just like, yeah, it's like,
it
why?
Is a funny accent.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Like crapping on Jersey in a Broadway play. It happens
so,
all the time.
It's so sing-songy to us, you know?
Yeah.
So what's this? This
so
is
this
song.
Is, we just finished the big football game. And Senator is congratulating us on our great game. And he's like, hey, and we're talking about how we're going to go bang at a whorehouse.
Hey, what a way to celebrate, right? In a musical.
Let's take a listen.
We're gonna walk and stop and walk.
was the show, and he was playing the guy.
Yeah, you said we were going to a whore out. Yeah, it's not, I don't know what Swedish accent I was doing.
How many of y'all are up there?
12.
12 of you, and you all forgot the lyrics.
It's amazing. I think one or two did it, but I think this is from the tech rehearsal, so we should know it.
This wasn't even like an actual performance that you did.
When I was listening to the actual recording, because my mom just sent me the whole thing. She doesn't know how to convert things down from Wave.
Your mother is a saint because she sent this to you at all.
Yeah,
so
no, she does sound for the Wilmington Drama League. Shout out to the Drama League. But yeah, so it's just a trend of me doing terrible accents and a play where, like, you know that everybody in that musical would have voted for Trump. It feels more uncomfortable listening to that musical now than it did, you know, 8 years ago.
It is a rather unique choice for a musical for community theater because it automatically assumes that you're, one, familiar with the premise, and two, it probably is not the most conducive play to invite your family to, for example.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, but it's still fun. It's silly.
I just like to look at these things from a sort of a PC point of view because we look at these things now and we can laugh about them and continue to look at them in an unobjective light. But at the time, when we're obviously a little less cynical, we're a little more bright-eyed, a little more
bushy-tailed.
Yeah.
And also, this is, you know, post-Obama being elected, so I can only imagine, like, the PC-ness that's going on in the culture.
Honestly, no one had a problem with the musical. Like,
yeah,
no one tried
to
shut us down.
I get that.
Because it's just, it's like this, like, historical piece, but it's not, but now listening to it, like, after, like, no, why, make sure there's no tapes in here, no wires in here. And it was like, someone might have a recorder. I was like, geez, this is awkward.
That's weird. It's just awkward.
Yeah, especially that the fact line would get a laugh now.
It's awkward the fact that it was adults. And, like, you being 21 and in college, you can't blame yourself. But these guys,
I don't blame myself,
like,
for being in it then either. It's like just a dumb musical.
It's very peculiar.
But it's also very pro-whorehouse. Like, it's very much pro, hey,
Peter,
and exposing all these politicians as corrupt. It's a satire on the whole thing.
Hey, world's oldest profession, man.
Then who paid for them?
Oh, how did they get the coin?
I was
going
to say, I think hunter-gatherer is actually the world's oldest profession.
Well, but then the world's oldest profession would be salesperson. Well, you sell. Who's the one buying it? Well, who's the one selling it?
Well, no, eating it.
But then it's
if it's a direct line of.
But is it a job if you're feeding your family?
And then you feed other people, and well, in a community base, because you involve trades from berries for food, because you
bartering.
Anyway, yeah. Sex at Dawn. Everybody read Sex at Dawn about the commune society. Radio V Brooklyn.
Moving on to the final contribution.
Oh, yeah. Let's
go
to this clip. This one I am legitimately embarrassed because my sister is the other character. There's the two characters which we'll probably cut out most of.
So who's the dog in this one?
I'm the kangaroo.
Okay.
It's Just So Musicals. It's Aesop Fables. And one character just goes and he meets all these different characters as he comes in. It's a kangaroo who basically he's real skinny and then he has to run everywhere and his legs get real big because he's being chased by a dingo. So that's how he like gets legs.
I see.
It was really tough to do because I would literally have to run off stage. There would be two guys holding open pants with bigger stuffing in it and I have to jump. I'd have to go on their shoulders, jump in, and then run back on stage with bigger legs.
For those who are listening right now, if you ever thought that being the horse's ass was the worst thing you could possibly do in community theater, rest assured that it is not.
It's being the kangaroo's legs.
Exactly.
And my sister plays the dingo who's chasing me around.
Oh, I see.
And she, at a very young age, was very talented. And she's a much better singer than
Does
I am.
Does she act and sing now, too, to this day?
Yeah, she's still acting and singing. She's off in California. She does, like, traveling tours with musical
Wonderful.
Stuff. She's great. But she would make fun of me all the time because I was not as good of a singer. I'm still not as good of a singer, but I'm a much better singer now. I don't know why I have to feel like I'm so defensive about this.
You were singing as the kangaroo, so again, we will not hold anything against you.
Listen, I was
she
17,
was chasing you,
and I thought, but here's the
and
thing.
She was a dingo, and she's like, putting it to you. I'm going to eat you, and I'm a better singer.
She was so good. I have like a bass 2 voice normally, like or my like vocal singing range when I first started was like, don't hear. So anything I could get above that, I was like, oh, I'm so good now, because I can hit higher notes. And each time I thought that, and now I think I've peaked out, but it's you can hear where I'm very much not as good as I thought I was.
Let's take a listen.
You're 17 in this?
17.
17-year-old David Piccolomini from the play Just So. Let's hear it.
Exclusive.
It's not working.
It's not.
Or you're not. We should have found the Limpopo River by now, and instead I'm in the middle of some howling desert. Sometimes the very thing you are looking for is under your nose all the time.
Under my nose?
You mean we've already been near the Limpopo River and she didn't even notice?
Oh, I knew I was better off without her. I have a head like a concertina. I have a tongue like a button stick. I have a mouth like an old potato, and I'm more than a little sick. Riddles, conundrums, and tongue twisters. Can nobody give me a straight answer? People who get too big for their boots sometimes find that their boots get too big for them. I think there's someone you should meet.
Good day, sport.
Who are you?
I'm your untypical Antipodean. A kangaroo. Or at least I was when I set out.
Do you live here?
No, I live many hops away in the Warrigarigaruma, in the Great Down Under. But, Fibbingham, I've been chased on the homes of my childhood and out of my regular meal times.
Not by a leopard or a jaguar, by any chance.
No, by beasts of the canine persuasion. A yellow dog dingo.
I recruited Yellow Dingo, who would change him, but by Dingo, not the way he thought. You'll be sought after, all right, but the alterations might give you something to think about, sport.
I'm fine, athlete, won't see the sunshine, when I suddenly heard this voice in my
must be taught a lesson, and you are the chosen teacher, it said.
I never realized that there was so much information that you could throw in one song about one fable.
About
yeah.
Kangaroo legs.
They basically, that was all of them where they'd set up who this character was and then they'd do the song. Basically, it's like B-rate Seussical.
In the, you know, in the Serengeti or something, they'll have animals like antelope. And the reason their legs bend backwards is because they have to run from predators. So their feet basically got pushed up over time and evolved in this position where they're like ready to always run.
Yeah.
You know?
It's and like zebras have stripes. So they look bigger.
Exactly.
So they
look
like a bigger pack.
Aesop was just sitting in his basement one day. And he's like, I'm going to just figure out why everything is everything. And if I can't figure it out, I'm just going to make it up.
I mean, he had so many fables.
Was
that
it hard from being from the Bronx, Aesop?
And then that, well, you know, again, he's Aesop Rocky now. So still going hard.
The kangaroo got its legs so big
running
because it was
dingo.
Running from a dingo.
Yeah. He felt like he wasn't strong enough or something. And so he's like, I wish I was stronger. And it's like, well, you want to be stronger? Well, here, look, I'll make you a good jumper.
And you rapped in this.
I
in Australia.
Did. I forgot that I rapped in this until I heard that.
Crikey. We're coming down here with all the raps. I'm going to tell you some more.
Yeah.
Something.
All right, I got no raps. One strong thing I will know is they always gave me whatever role had personality, quote unquote. They would just be like, Dave, you do that. You're not afraid of embarrassing yourself.
Wilmington Drama League, you're 17, so you were doing shows before this one.
Yeah. I've been doing a bunch of shows, but like, yeah, like you can hear in, not to get too vocal, but I hadn't learned how to go above a note yet. I would always attack it from below, so they would always come out flat.
How is that vulgar?
No, not vulgar. I meant going too into detail about...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Musicality specifics. I don't know how musical your crowd is. You gotta...
Depends. Who knows?
We don't know.
Some are very musical, some are not, right?
Yes. And so you were... But your sister, in comparison, was a lot more musical than you were.
13 and... Well, she just kind of came out like
was this her first show?
No. But she, from, the age of 8, she was just able to, belt. She, figured it out one day, and she was like, oh, this is how you do it, and then just crushed...
Clearly, from what that sounded...
She was so good.
Agreed.
Your whole entire family was theatrical. Your brother, you said, did a show with you as well?
He was more musician-based.
Okay.
He played marimba in high school and stuff like that. He plays guitar now.
And neither of your parents did any acting?
No, my mom took us to see a lot of plays as kids because she found out where that would be free entertainment for a poor family. And then my dad played guitar but mostly did heroin.
Okay.
You know,
that's good.
That's good
to coddle creativity.
Yeah. Or, not do anything. But,
you got to live a lot of free time.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, look, he plays a mean House of the Rising Sun.
Nice.
I don't know if that's true. I was trying to think of a good heroin song.
you had a very nurturing upbringing in the creative arts.
Yeah, my mom, very supportive. She's still supportive of me doing stand-up, which is, crazy to me. She was like, this is something you're willing to work at. Do it.
Did you do a lot of stand-up in high school and college?
I did one stand-up performance when I was 16. I would have won, apparently, but I used the word ass. And so I was disqualified.
Shit.
That happens to me every
time. Like, I had to take that chemistry teacher down, though. I was a young Bill Hicks.
Nice. Revenge is more than a three-letter word, lady.
If you were doing comedy and theater at the same time, which felt more comfortable to you?
I did theater fun. So what happened was I started writing my own play. I started writing my own, plays and one-acts and stuff. And, I realized I was like, oh, I want to be in front of people doing my own work and have it be funny. So I started doing stand-up around the same time, 22. And, that was when I did one professional audition where I sat in a theater for 8 hours and literally they brought us up by going next batch. I was like, I can't do this. This is it. I don't have the strength of heart to, sit in a room for 8 hours and then hope I get my 30 seconds is good. And so I went and I was like, oh, I should do stand-up. You can work at that a lot more. You can actually, you're kind of more in control of that.
And you feel like you're in a lot more control.
I love stand-up. I did a little bit of theater as I was doing stand-up. I was like, no. Every time I was at a rehearsal, I would be like, I could be doing stand-up right now.
You feel you made the right decision for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Where can people catch you in person when you're performing?
Excellent job. You're
all in a week's work.
Never done this before.
Yeah, no, look, just admire smooth transitions, and then I ruin them by complaining about it.
guess from my own heart.
But, okay, so I run a weekly show at actually Two Boots in Williamsburg.
Nice.
Every Tuesday, we do a show from 8 to 8:30. We give away free draft beer. We do it in the back of this pizza shop. The front is a pizza shop, and then the back we set up a stage. We have a whole thing, and we give away free beer from 8 to 8:30, and then 8:30 to 9:30, 9:45. We have an awesome show. We've gotten we get great people. We get people who've done Conan, Last Comic Standing, Comedy Central, all this stuff. It's a really fun show.
That's
every Tuesday.
So great.
It's called Ambush Comedy on Facebook. I also run a show called Pat and Pickles Join a Cult at Carmine Street Comics, where.
Okay.
Me and my friend Patrick Riley, we've decided we want to join a cult. We have other comedians become cult leaders and pitch us on their cult. So, and then they do it for 5 minutes, and then we ask questions for 5 minutes.
That's perfect. Wow.
It's a real fun show, and that's at Carmine Street Comics off the West 4th subway stop.
Of course.
Then Tinder Tales, of course.
Yes.
I do that every Thursday. I drop an episode. So 2 days after you listen to this, there's a new episode of Tinder Tales, and that's TinderTalesPod.com, TinderTales on iTunes, all the basic places.
And people
can
find you on Twitter as well?
Twitter, yes, at Piccolomeany, PICCOLOMEANY, but if you spell it either way, you can find me. And that was kind of trying to be my catch-all.
It's a very easy catch-all because technically it is easily the most memorable, but at the same time, probably one of the hardest names to like envision.
Yeah,
like Piccolo.
I was gonna say
from Dragon Ball Z, but he's real mad at you.
I was gonna say, but again,
Piccolo meaning.
But at the same time, not hard to remember because Piccolo is one of the best characters from Dragon Ball.
Our friends Katie Rose and Jeremy have their new podcast called Ballin' Out Super, and ties into Piccolo because Piccolo Mini is the last name of our esteemed guest for this week.
And he ain't green. But
David,
he's a good
I used
dude.
To paint myself green all the time. That'll next episode.
Please come back with more clips for sure. David Piccolo Mini here.
Thanks for coming on, man.
On Lost and Rewound. Thanks again for tuning into Radio Free Brooklyn on this go around. We'll be back here again next week, 3 p.m.
LostandRewound@gmail.com for all submissions. And again, every Thursday at 3 p.m. right here, Radio Free Brooklyn.
I'm Alon.
I'm Jimmy. Lost and Rewound.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Spirit Airlines, I almost died on. And then afterwards,
wow.
They were like, hey, if you want another free flight with us, you can get one free flight. I was like, you know what? I'm good.
Hey, that's still a pretty good deal.
You know,
did you take that free flight?
No, I didn't because I didn't want to die again.
I've taken Spirit Airlines a couple times.
How often do the engines go out?
None so far.
Not so much. All right. Well, it was pretty interesting. People on the plane were definitely losing it, including the flight attendants. They looked
ooh,
nervous.
That's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. The only person that wasn't nervous was my dad. Because he's a math teacher, so he's like, mathematically, we won't crash. And then we didn't.
Statistically speaking, we're not going to crash.
Yep. He was like, cool as a cucumber. He's like, not going to happen.
That's like that's how science is my religion. I can tell you how a cell phone works, but I do trust in it.
He was like, there's a better chance of this plane being struck by lightning 17 times before we land.